Age and death are nothing for us to fear, but only if we know Christ. Here's Skip Heitzig to give us a glimpse of what's in store for the friends of God.
When we die, our body decays in the grave. Our spirit goes to be with the Lord, awaiting the day of resurrection, when the spirit will be rejoined with a resurrected, wholly different kind of a body than we have now. And one day we're going to hear, as we're gathered with the people of God, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." On that day, if you know Christ, you won't hobble. You will leap for joy.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins.
A while back, an insurance company ran a series of commercials that reminded us with serious tones and somber music that the price of funerals are rising. And to relieve the burden of having a loved one pass away, we needed to call them right away and buy their insurance. Well, if I may be so bold, there's a better way to prepare for death. The best preparation we can make is to live our life for God. And today in The Connection, we'll take one last look at a man who lived such a full life walking with God that when death came around, it really wasn't that big of a deal. Skip Heitzig brings our series Making Your Mark to a close today here in The Connection. But first, we're approaching the end of the month and your opportunity to pick up this vital documentary, Shattered.
Your children are drowning. They're drowning in a flood of media. Today's youth have more ways to access more media anywhere, anytime. Just how is this deluge affecting our children? And just how much is the occult shaping today's entertainment? Shattered is a documentary that explores the influence of today's movies, video games, and music, and how the parents and the church can equip our children to make wise and discerning choices in our media-saturated society. Shattered explores these vital issues with experts such as Steve Russo, Lee Strobel, Bob Walicheski, and more. Hosted by Skip Heitzig, Shattered is a look at the dark side of today's media you can't miss. Get your copy today for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org.
Well, we've been in this series for a while now, but all good things come to an end. As we read about the end of Abraham's life, we also bring this series Making Your Mark to its conclusion. That's next here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 25, we'll catch up with Skip Heitzig for the final study in our current series.
You've probably come across people who just sort of hang their heads and they feel like, well, what could I contribute at my age? I'm sort of over the hill. I might be in the way. I just want to address that for a moment and say, that is wrong. Shame on our society that has diminished the importance of age. Your greatest accomplishments could come at older age. You know more now. You are seasoned, hopefully wise. Think of Abraham. He was 80 years young when he became Israel's deliverer. Think of Caleb, who at age 85 had already fought battle after battle, and he stands in Hebron at 85 and he says, "I am as strong today as I was back then. Give me that mountain." You say, yeah, but those are just Bible people. All the Bible people say that stuff. Okay, let's take it out of the Bible people. Michelangelo painted his greatest work at age 89. He was in his 90s on his back in the Sistine Chapel painting. William Gladstone, Christian Prime Minister of England, was 83 and on his fourth term as prime minister. J.C. Penney, Christian businessman, 95, still kept office hours. John Wesley, 88, preached eloquently. He had covered 250,000 miles on horseback by that time, preached over 4,000 sermons, and still going strong at age 88. A few weeks ago, I was back in West Virginia, and I had the privilege of speaking to the Billy Graham team. And right before I got to speak, I had a great honor. The man who sings right before Billy Graham always speaks sang before me, George Beverly Shea. Well, he gets up to the platform and with a firm step, and he says, "I'm 49 years old in reverse." 94 years of age, this man sang so beautifully, still growing strong for the Lord. An old English proverb says, "The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune." Remember that one. Remember that as you sing around the house and your kids might look at you like, "Ooh." The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. One day they will so miss hearing you sing those songs. I read something Agatha Christie once wrote. She said, "The best husband a woman can have is an archaeologist, because the older she gets, the more interested he becomes in her." Let's get more archaeologists. Let's go back now to Genesis 25. I want to give you a third word that I've used to describe these senior years of Abraham. It's the word responsible. Responsible. In chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 5 and 6, we read, "And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east." This is Abraham's will. It's very short and succinct, but complete nonetheless. It is simple in the extreme, but it's his will. He disperses what he has to his children. Most of it goes to Isaac because he's the son of promise. Somebody said there are 7 decades of a man. You ready? Spills, number one. Drills, that'd be tests. Thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. And this is Abraham's will. The dad disperses what he has to the sons. And it's not a matter of favoritism. That's why he sends them to the east, and they become the progenitors of the Arabian nations much later on. But Isaac is established as the son of the promise, but the will is given fairly. Here's a point. Age did not entitle Abraham to be irresponsible. Age does not entitle us to be irresponsible. I know we think, "Yeah, I'm going to get old one day and I'm just going to kick back and do nothing." It doesn't work that way. It never really does. In fact, it seems that life now gets us ready for the future. Each responsibility in each age simply gets us poised for future responsibility. One of the best pieces of advice the prophet Isaiah gave to King Hezekiah, he said these words, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, because you will die and not live." He said, "Well, that's so abrupt." Needed to be abrupt. He was going to die. "Set your house in order, for you will live and not, or you will die and not live." In other words, you need to pick somebody out to sit on your throne. You're going to die. Set your house in order. Get your affairs all lined up. Here's another text, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now that's an interesting word Paul uses, the word provide. Pranaeo means to think about and plan for in advance. To think about and plan for in advance. It describes the forethought necessary to provide adequate care for those in your family. That's what it means to provide. Here's a man who is old but responsible to his children, to his family. Jesus did that. What a great example. He's on the cross. He is absorbed in suffering. The sins of the world are dumped upon him. And at that moment, instead of thinking about himself, he thinks about mom. Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. It's taken care of. I was going through these verses this week, and I was thinking about Abraham, and I'm trying to picture him in my mind and seeing him in his old age and not giving up on his sons and doing it right. And I thought of a psalm that you might want to write down and refer to later. Psalm 92. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like the cedars of Lebanon." And it continues, "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will be fresh and flourishing." It denotes growth, fruitfulness, not stagnation. You're going somewhere. You don't stop. You never plateau. Here's a prayer worth repeating. "Lord, thou knowest I am growing older. Keep me from the idea that I must express myself on every subject. Release me from the craving to meddle in everybody's affairs. Keep my tongue from the recital of endless details of the past which don't interest others. Seal my lips when I am inclined to talk about my aches and pains. They are increasing with the years, and my love to speak of them grows sweeter as time goes by. Teach me the glorious lesson that occasionally I may be wrong. Make me thoughtful, but not interfering. Helpful, but not bossy. With wisdom and experience that I have gained, it does seem a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends left in the end. So help me pray more and talk less. And beyond all this, let me continue to flourish spiritually and bring forth fruit to thy glory, even in old age. Amen." I bet somebody was reading Psalm 92 when they pondered that and wrote what I just read. So, three descriptive words of this man: remarried, renewed, responsible. I'll give you a fourth and we'll close. Reviewed. His life is reviewed. We read now his obituary. This is the review of the life of Abraham. Verse 7. "This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 175 years. And then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age." Boy, I'll say. "An old man, full of years, and he was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah, his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahairoi." That's his obituary. Five verses that sum up his life and his death. Now just think of something as we're bringing his life and this message to a close. This guy walked with God for over 100 years. He walked with God for over a century. He was the friend of God for a long time. Several years ago, we had the privilege, it wasn't even in this building, in our old building, of having Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He was in his 80s at the time. It was shortly before he went to heaven. And I remember him saying, "God's going to have to retire me, friends." About a year later, God retired him. Here, God retires Abraham. It's sort of sad to see it, but death is inevitable. Change is inevitable. And Isaac is about to become this new patriarch, as we read in verse 11, his star is rising. Let me just say something. Old age is good if God's hand is upon your life. Old age is good if God's blessing and hand is upon your life. Proverbs 6, the silver-haired head, and it's growing on mine, is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Now, would you notice something in our text? Notice a description of him. He's an old man and full of years. You say, oh, Skip, you just said old age is good. It doesn't sound good to me. Old man and full of years. That didn't sound like fun. It sounds tedious, hard, painful. But here is a phrase that doesn't just describe quantity of time, but quality of life, we're told by the Hebrew scholars. One person translates it, he died an old man and satisfied with life. That's what the phrase full of years means, satisfied in looking back. Calvin suggests a good conscience and a serene and tranquil mind. How few come to the end of their life with joy? How few come to the end of their days looking back and go, ah, full of years, I am satisfied with what God has done in my life. See, most people, when they look back, it's with regret. When they look ahead, it's with fear. When they look around, it's with complaint. When they should look up, and it should be with joy. He's a man who's full of years. In spite of age, in spite of physical deterioration, it's a blessing. 2 Corinthians 4, we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. Our spirit inside us makes us new every day. There's a second phrase I want you to notice. It says he's gathered to his people. Now that sounds like a real old phrase, doesn't it? It's one we don't use anymore. So what does that mean, gathered to his people? Some think, well, it means he got buried in a tomb with his family. But his family wasn't in it yet. His wife was, but not all the rest. So it doesn't mean being buried in a crowded tomb. The idea of this phrase suggests hope, continuance after death. He got gathered to his people. It's the idea that says, I believe in the hope that goes beyond the grave, that I'm going to where all those others who trust in God in the Old Testament go, in God's presence. I heard people say, I'd rather be over the hill than under it. I think Abraham was ready to be under it. Because for him and for others who die in faith, it's not the end. It's not the end. He's being gathered to his people. Now, when we die, and by the way, only two things live forever, the soul of a man and the word of God. When we die, our body decays in the grave. Our spirit goes to be with the Lord, awaiting the day of resurrection, when the spirit will be rejoined with a resurrected, wholly different kind of a body than we have now. And one day, we're going to hear, as we're gathered with the people of God, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. On that day, if you know Christ, you won't hobble, you will leap for joy. You won't squint, you will see clearly. You won't have hearing aids, you'll hear the glorious sounds of heaven with the people of God. Here's the point I want to make. One day your life will be in review. One day an obituary will be found in some local newspaper where you died. And one day you will face eternity. If God's people were your people in this life, you will gather with them in the presence of God. If God's people were not your people in this life, and God wasn't your God, you will gather with the crowd that spends forever in hell. That is stark, but that is true. But what a privilege to be gathered with the people of God in the presence of Christ. A godly life that brings a godly death. You know when it begins? Early. Early. The earlier, the better. 95% of all conversions are before age 30. That's before you get hardened and so opinionated that you're immovable so often. That's just the statistics. A godly life starts young. I want to close, not here, but I want you to turn right and go down several roads to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. It's a long name. It's after the book of Proverbs and Song of Solomon, and you'll see it, Ecclesiastes. Go to the last chapter. Oh, it's before the Song of Solomon, excuse me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and look at a few verses with me. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. It suggests preparation. Get ready now. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, it's descriptive of one's arms and legs, the strong men bow down, bowed over in the back. When the grinders cease because they are few, you can guess what that is, loose teeth or none. And those that look through the windows grow dim, fading eyesight. When the doors are shut in the streets, the lips sag is the idea. And the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, can't sleep. All the daughters of music are brought low. You lose your hearing. Also, they're afraid of the height, of the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, you know what that means? Gray hair, white hair. The grasshopper is a burden. And desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So before it's too late, here's Solomon. He lived his life. He sowed his oats. And now he's saying, after all of it, hey, the best time to get spiritual isn't to wait till you're old, but do it young and walk as long as you can with Christ, with God. Follow him, love him, serve him. And that's the best way to be prepared. I found a little quip that said, you know you're getting old when all the names in your little black book end in MD. You know you're getting old when you get winded playing chess. You know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. That's right. You know you're getting old when you try to straighten the wrinkles in your socks and you discover you're not wearing any socks. You know you're getting older when your pacemaker accidentally opens the garage door. You know you're getting old when you bend over to tie your shoes and you wonder what else you can do while you're down there. But begin now so that the last years of your life become the best. The best. And think of Abraham, that old, and look at that old guy go. His life in review, as our one days will be.
You know, some people think the way to get the most out of life is to wait until they're on their deathbed before they surrender to God. However, I think we've seen from Abraham's life that it's best to give our hearts to God as early as possible. Then we'll truly experience a full and satisfying life, no matter how many years we may have. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this series, Making Your Mark. And if you'll stay with us, I'll let you know how to order it. Right now, I'd like to invite you to join the Global Connectors. As a member, you'll help us reach out to people all around the globe with the good news of the gospel. Plus, we'll send you a free resource each month you're a member. Help us share these daily times in God's Word with even more people in countries all over the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Learn more when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching or of the series we just concluded, give us a call on that same number, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org. You can also write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for joining us today. And I hope you've enjoyed this study as we took a close look at the life of a man who is known as God's friend.
And make the connection.
Move on to a brand new study next time, so be sure to join us as we explore what the Bible reveals to us about life beyond the grave. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.